As you think of sexual purity, remember these three principles. 1, be chaste before marriage. 2, be faithful in marriage. And 3, seek God forgiveness if you have already sinned. The evangelist was standing on a picnic table in a city park speaking to a crowd of young people who had gathered. His sermon was rudely interrupted when he said, "God loves you." "No, he doesn't," a young man called out. The preacher stopped and asked, "What makes you think God does not love you?" The answer was a surprising question. "Why is God against sex?" "Against sex," the preacher replied. "God is not against sex. Who do you think started it by making human beings male and female?" Now, where does a person get the idea that God is against sexual union? It is because of a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches on the subject. In an effort to keep from sinful abuse of that natural desire, we parents have warned our children against it, and misunderstanding might have followed as a consequence. So let us go to the Bible and set the record straight. Hebrews 13:4 reads, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Now that text sets out the fourth mark of a maturing Christian. A Christian who is growing in grace is morally pure. And here's why that is so important. There are four pillars to a stable society. They are the home, the school, the state, and the church. Of those four, the home is the most basic institution. If the homes of a nation collapse, no other part of the social structure will remain firm. Broken homes cause severe problems in the schools. Broken homes undermine the security of the state, and broken homes weaken the witness of the church. That's why the devil is fighting so strongly against marriage and the home in our time. And that's why the Lord is calling his people to preserve with great diligence the biblical principles of marriage and the home. The battle is raging today. The Bible sets out two principles to guide us in moral conduct. They are 1, chastity before marriage, and 2, fidelity after marriage. Now let's examine those two principles in the light of Bible teaching. God commands the unmarried person to refrain from sexual activity, period. Deuteronomy 22 is very clear in setting out God's mind on that subject. It discusses two occasions of sex outside of marriage. First, it discusses the rape or seduction of an unmarried girl who is betrothed to a husband. If either happens, the man is to pay with his life for the offense. He has committed adultery. If the affair occurs in the country where no one could hear the girl's cries, only the man is to put to death. But if it happens in the city, where the girl could have received help by crying out but does not, then both the man and the girl will be put to death. That is a very severe penalty for what is considered a light thing today. But that only shows the difference between God's attitude and the current social attitude toward sexual sins. Second, if a man has sexual relations with a virgin girl, whether in town or in the country, he is required to pay her father a dowry and marry her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. When God said the two became one flesh, he meant it. Now, why were those laws given at all? Why are they so strict? Because God intends to protect marriage and the home. Sexual sin is the direct result of the depravity of the human race, according to Romans 1:24. It is those people who are hardened against God and against his laws who are involved in sexual violation. Here's what the Bible says. "This is the will of God, your sanctification, and that you should flee from sexual immorality." We see this problem of sexual immorality among adults and youth alike. The age of sexual activity is becoming lower and lower year by year. The tragedy is compounded as children begin having children of their own. God forbids it. Now, whatever others may say, God will judge the person and the society which flaunts its sin in despite of his laws. Read Hebrews 13:4 again. Marriage is honorable for all when the bed is undefiled. But the whoremongers, the adulterers, the immoral people, God will judge. Now that's the Bible truth. You can count on it being applied in absolute term. Divine judgment is coming upon immoral persons. Now God's judgment may take many forms. It may be an unwanted pregnancy. It may be in a guilty conscience which fears being found out. It may be the fear of public knowledge and the consequences that follow. It may be dissatisfaction with one's partner in marriage. It may be the infection of some sexually transmitted disease. You hear a lot about AIDS these days, the acquired immune deficiency syndrome. But there are many other sexually transmitted diseases which can take your life or make you sick for the rest of your life. So I say, be chaste, be pure before you marry. Now the second principle of sexual morality is fidelity, faithfulness in marriage. God has given the clear command, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now that should settle the issue once and for all. But knowing the depravity of the human heart, God repeated that prohibition over and again. He did it that He might protect us from the very consequences of an adulterous lifestyle. He appeals to us to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He warns us against lust, saying, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. He admonishes us, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. He tells us the way to do that is to put to death those desires which demand satisfaction in improper ways. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Our response should be in obedience to 2 Corinthians 7:1. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, but someone might lament, it is too late for me. I am already guilty of sexual sin. Well, then there is a word of grace for you. John chapter 8 records Jesus' response to a woman taken in the very act of adultery. There was no question about her guilt. She was accused publicly and shamed publicly by the men who brought her to Jesus. First, He convicted her accusers of their own sin, saying, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They went away. And then He spoke words of forgiveness to that poor fallen woman, saying, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, as you think of sexual purity, remember these three principles. 1, be chaste before marriage, saving yourself for your future partner. 2, be faithful in marriage, knowing God severely punishes adultery. And 3, be assured if you've already sinned of the forgiveness of God. Father, everywhere we look, there are things to arouse the sensual nature. But we want to be pure, just as you've commanded. So make us sensitive to the work of your Spirit, and help us to stay pure for Jesus' sake. Amen.